Anybody else?
Well, I shouldn't say anything. I woke up this morning. I have this kind of weird feeling.
Can we turn the heat down? Or I'm roasting, or maybe
like a friend of mine.
It's set at 71.
Okay.
Like a friend of mine stabbed me in the side as I was walking by, or something. I don't know. I feel bad about what you said about me last night. I'm trying to convince myself that that's ridiculous.
No, you should feel bad. You should feel bad. The whole point of it was to cause you to see that you can't trust your... If you trust your mind for 1 second, then you'll return to the eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So... the point of it is you don't have the capacity to see truth with your mind, even the slightest bit. Because if you give your mind a micron, then you instantly return. And that's a blessing. That's not something to be.
Wasn't the beginning of the statement that...
You didn't have the capacity.
No,
didn't.
But wasn't there something before that? Wasn't there something about... And that's why I'm so furious at Harry or something like that.
I don't remember that. But the reason I said it was because, the idea of you spending 1 instant returning back to the judging for yourself what is good and evil, a nanosecond and you're back down to the pit.
Right. I mean, I know that's true.
Well, that's what I was saying. Okay?
I think.
All right. Anybody else?
Just along that line, if the idea of you declaring this stuff publicly makes it a little strange. Harry's a zero and he doesn't do shit. Gary doesn't do that. I don't know what power that carries, but that's how I address that stuff. That now every time anybody looks at Harry, they know, you don't know shit. You can't tell the truth from the...
I said worse things about you.
Well,
you can cope.
You feel justified or something?
I don't feel anything except that's what I said. That's what I see. And the biggest danger for you is the ability to cope. Harry can't cope. I'm not trying to be justified or unjustified.
Well, if you declare it as a bad thing,
what?
That I can cope.
It is. It's unbelievably evil.
But you can't have it both ways. You can't be perfect and be...
You can constantly repent.
Okay.
Truth is a sustained consciousness of your own error.
Did you ever see me repent?
The distance between... Again, that's why you have to have Harry.
Yeah, I appreciate Harry.
But not for the reason that you think. You have to see Harry to cause you to see that you can never, ever, ever again cope. Coping is the worst thing you can do spiritually. Because it deadens, it sears your conscience. Am I sorry I said it publicly? I'm sorry it was necessary for me to say it publicly. Does it upset you? Of course it does. But I'm not going to think it and not say it. Now you're coping.
What what can I say? You're going to do what you want to do. And I'm going to say what I say, and then that's where we are. If I find myself coping and understand it, I will repent.
You're not coping now.
I don't know what else I could be doing. I'm just being
screaming and yelling at me, it's better than anything, if that's what you feel. All right, well, if that's the case, that's fine. But my point is the ability to cope, the ability to silently take it,
yeah,
is the biggest deceiver for us. I mean, it just... What?
That's what you're talking about with Faith Roger. His survival skills is the ultimate in coping.
Yes.
He believes that all this stuff is true that he's saying. And personally, I think he's dealing with, you know, a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
But he has survived so long that he has to, he's created a world in which what he says is true. And nothing can ever affect that.
Well, except what will affect it is the Holy Spirit. I mean, you do realize that that's the first time I've ever said Godspeed to someone that we've sent out? And I did that because I don't know why I did it. It's what I did. And if somebody didn't agree with me doing that, that's a big thing. I mean, I wish you would have said something. But with regard to, I mean, you've got to see how this thing, we have constructed our own independent realities for so long that it takes an explosion, it takes the cross, it takes your death and your sustained consciousness of that to destroy these coping mechanisms. And it's where we are right now. When I see somebody coping, I go, it's like somebody's written a neon sign that said attack. And unfortunately, you're probably going to be the brunt of it.
That's okay. What I'm really seeing here is I personally am dealing with something even different than all this coping and that. This is kind of opening up that wall. Because it's an issue of false respect and speaking from my heart or from what's worked out in me, as opposed to, you know, trying to speak. And
I understand.
And this is like a hammer that breaks the rock. And the coping thing doesn't even mean that much to me. Cope or not cope doesn't touch me, but what is touching me is the fact that I care what people think about me. I give a shit whether you said I was an idiot or a coper or a tolerator or some label like that would influence me and cause me to cower and then be concerned that somebody might think something good or bad of me. So I couldn't speak.
Yeah, that's why, this is why Paul said, I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. Until the Word has been made flesh so completely that there is no hesitation between lip and life. It's the same. And that mystery is, it's the Old Testament type of it was circumcision, but now the circumcision is of the heart. So that circumcision of the heart has to go totally in the complete circumference of it. So that and the test of it is, if you believe what Paul said, he said, so that you no longer need the praise of men. Said, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart and no longer needs the praise of men. Now, if I concern myself with what someone thinks about me, then what I'm telling God is I need your ratification for my being. I need your respect. I need your something. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I want you to hear this with perfect clarity. The only thing I want from you is your total and complete freedom to know that my opinion of you or anybody else's is your standing before God. And if something I say to you touches you, that's the indicator that the circumcision is still continuing. I mean, I can give you 100 examples with me.
That's very picturesque. A half circumcised heart is pretty weird.
Yeah, it's why God has continued time, because He sees you as part of the body, and He can't take the body with unless it's complete. Now, there's nothing that we have to do. We are perfected by one offering. But what that truth, that completeness, that perfection within us can't be blocked by all of these templates and programs and needs that the flesh has. And it's so total, it has to be real. And that's what we're going to study that right now. Let's go to Numbers 25. Remember we talked about how the verse we're studying is in Ecclesiastes. Don't go to Ecclesiastes. I'm just reminding you. I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands are bound. Who pleaseth God, whoso pleaseth God shall escape her from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Now the woman here is not females; it's the whore, the whore of Babylon, who sits in a thousand ways to ensnare you, and she is seated. If you believe anything I've taught you, she's seated on the seven mountains of your mind, not the seven mountains of Rome or any place. She's on your mind, on the high places. And she is enticing you constantly to go someplace else other than the Father for your sustenance. She's even enticing you to pray to Jesus, because that makes you separate from Him. And so she's constantly enticing you, 24 hours a day, even in your dreams, to go somewhere else other than the Father for your wine, your corn, and your oil, or your sustenance, for your satisfaction, for your completeness. She's enticing you to make a lie of the communion, that you need something other than the bread for your sustenance and your satisfaction, and you need something other than the wine for your worth. And what Gary just confessed, and it's critical, is that in a slight way he needed a little bit more than the wine for his worth. Does everybody understand this? So the whore is constantly, her job, and she's doing it by the decree of God, she's doing it to try to cause every part of your mind to not be renewed. And there's a constant enticement towards some other direction. It could be an idea. It could be pornography. It could be drugs. It could be location. It could be anything. Something about her job is to show you that what you have isn't enough and you need to go and do something else. Does that communicate to everybody? Now, we see it clear, the clear picture of this in Numbers 25. And this is the sin of Baal Peor. And it's There's probably nothing in Jewish literature and in early Christian written more about than the sin of Baal Peor. Okay? And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Again, it's a picture for you and I to see how we are committing. Moab is always the... That's where Michael is going. Huh? He's going to find a fine Moabitish woman. What? How come Bojo's smirking? Anyway. And this is just it's a picture of what our mind does to us every day. Got it? And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And what is the sacrifice of their gods? It means that you give breath to something that the world gives breath to. That's why Jesus said, "You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knows your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God." Now he wants them, the idea is if your mind is renewed, then those things that are highly esteemed among men will also become an abomination unto you. That's what it means to confess. To see the same thing, to hear the same thing, to speak the same thing in your mind, so that these things lose their importance. There's nothing, there's no, until you can say with everything in you at every second, there's nowhere else in the world I'd rather be, and there's absolutely nothing else I'd rather be doing. No matter whether you're in the circus of Rome being torn apart by a lion, or you're in Indonesia having your hands cut off for naming the name of Christ, or in the Sudan being watching your kids being killed because you're a believer. How can that be? It can be in perfect faith. That's what faith is. That says, this moment is finished. This moment is perfect. I need nothing except that which is in my hand. Everybody got the picture? So they rested for a while at Shittim. That's a nice name. And as soon as they started resting, then what happened? Then they started going after the Moabitish women, or again the type, whatever, something else other than God. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now, you got to remember now, they've left Egypt, so God isn't dealing with them as individuals anymore. There's no more self-realization in the name of God. Now, if one sinned, then Israel itself is joined to the whore. Anybody understand this? This will make you crazy. Because you'll see that you're vital, you're critically important in the mystery of the bride, but you're meaningless as an individual. That's why it's our Father which art in heaven. That's why when one or two or three had joined themselves to the whore at Baal Peor, it was all of Israel that was polluted. What?
So you're saying by the sins that we commit, or if we fornicate with the world, we are affecting the body.
Not just the body in your what you know about, all the way back to Abel. Pray that you understand this. If you do, then you can understand how your faith can affect and turn upside down the entire world. But your rebellion and your fornication can stop everything. So am I picking on you? Of course I am. And I mean it. If anybody has any doubts about me meaning it, hang around a while. And I'm speaking as much to myself as I am to anybody.
I just seen while you're talking that how I am 100% untrustworthy. I just cannot be trusted at all from God's point of view as an individual.
Right, that's why we need each other.
Yeah, but as part of this body, it's not even an issue. It's not even a concept. It's not a sentence. It doesn't mean anything.
I'm dead without it. I mean, I'm less than nothing without you. But watch, it really gets interesting here. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads, the leaders of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from them. He was talking about kill them and putting them on a stake. All of the heads, all of the elders. Do you see the elders have a greater responsibility? What happened this morning? Gary is hung on that stake. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one his men that were joined unto Baal-peor. Now we'll find out in a minute. In just a split second, they killed 29,000. Why? Why did God wipe out every man and woman and child in these strange cities? Was it that justify our going to war? No. It showed how his sole interest in the universe was protecting the seed of Abraham. And if you, the Bible has got great concepts and great teaching. No, it doesn't. If you followed the laws of this Bible, you'd destroy the world. There isn't a Christian alone in the universe that can, except for Christ himself, that can live by the Sermon on the Mount. And the only way you can live by not abandoning yourself, by not seeing that you're crucified, is to ignore the Sermon on the Mount. That's a good place to quit. We'll see what happens at Baal-peor tomorrow. It's talking about, remember, the predicate of this is what we're studying in Ecclesiastes about this woman, this mysterious woman who can entice anything and anyone. Don't miss tomorrow. We'll see the solution. What?
Me?
You.
I just, it hadn't come clear yet, but I know that I'm hearing what you're saying, and there's something getting ready to drop into my head about what you said about me last night, what you said about Gary this morning, and what we're reading and studying.
Amen.
Kind of.
That's why we're going to wait until tomorrow.
You probably won't get it.
Go ahead and be off topic. It'll be another week before he gets to talk about it.
It'll take a while to chill.
Give it some time. Coalesce.
Are you okay, John?
Last night you talked about Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but the Beatitudes. One of them doesn't seem to register with me. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How can any flesh pursue righteousness? I don't understand that.
The only one that can hunger and thirst after righteousness is Christ. The only one who's blessed because men persecute him is Christ. The only one who's poor in spirit is Christ. The whole thing is a revelation of Jesus Christ in its intimacy. And all we can do is say, Father, forgive me, until that word is made flesh within us. So it can only be, it's poor meaning empty, without content, without anything. He lived, we like to think of him as a great hero, the great teacher, the great wisdom. He was the great nothing. He emptied himself, so he lived in 100% dependence on the Father at all times. This is why. Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. The mystery of emptying is it hurts your brain, but it's the most incredible place there is in the universe. And it's the most powerful place. Remember, I used to teach one man full of the Holy Spirit is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Think of what 10 or 12 or 20 or 50 would be. Not learning the same thing. There were the people were of one accord in one place at the same time because they all had emptied. They couldn't. There's no way the disciples could have been of one accord by anything else. The only way you can be of one accord is when a group of people see the emptiness and futility of their own spiritual efforts and empty constantly. This thing about Balpeor is a big deal.
I was thinking about empty is a word kind of like death. It's either empty or it's got almost empty. Death is either death or almost. There's no
almost.
Yeah, there's no in-betweens on this. And like, you can be, well, I'm almost empty. I've said almost everything. I'm almost. Yeah.
It's like being a little. It's
about. Be full.
Yeah, it's the same. You are. That's the difference. It's either you can't be a little bit pregnant.
Yeah.
It's either death and abandonment or it's full. Or it's either worship or will worship. Will worship is just pure evil. Oh, now let's do it by liturgy. All right, now everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right, now everybody praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is no liturgy in the Spirit. The only set times of the Lord in the whole Bible are the feast days. And the only reason... And we know we can't get them right. We could spend the rest of eternity with every resource that's available in time and space, and we wouldn't do it right. But the act of the celebration, the act of the fast, and all the set times of the Lord provide they provide it's something. It's mysterious. I don't understand it, but I know. That if I know that those are the only set times and everything else is a pseudo-event, then it helps me see that the only one I give breath to is Jesus Christ. He alone is life. And the only one that I depend on is the Father. And somehow the feasts and the fasts make that more real than I ever knew before we experienced the feasts and the fasts. And it's also then interesting to me that everyone that named the name of Christ did the feasts and the fast for the first 130 years. Do you realize how long 130 years is? More than twice.
More than twice. Sorry, I can't remember this.
No, less than twice.
Ask John Russell twice.
No, I'm 67. I'll be 67 pretty soon. This year, anyway.
Less than twice.
Less than twice.
Almost as old.
Another lifetime.
All right. Take it. Anybody have anything else?
She charged $10 to get in.
Take a big guy.